Not Just Football with Cam Hayward is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Not Just Football with Cam Hayward. It's me, Cam Hayward. It's him, Hayden Walsh. He's wearing a shirt I don't like, but we got a lot to talk about, and let's jump right in. Hayden, how was your week?
Weekend was okay until Sunday. Sunday was a tough day. I did not like seeing the outcome of that game. Obviously, there was some tough news today. I think we should probably address Matt Canada has been relieved of his duties. It's the first time the Pittsburgh Steelers have gotten rid of a coach midseason since 1941. So it's obviously something we don't do very much here. What was your opinion when you heard it? What'd you think? And how's the locker room taking the news?
I found out like 8:30 this morning before my lift. And, you know, I think a lot of people, we think Ding Dong the Witch is dead and it's supposed to be something you celebrate. I don't really look at it like that. You know, Coach Canada was a guy who, you know, he tried and he was, you know, trying to get the offense back on point, and the points weren't there like we wanted. And we all have to take accountability for it. And I'm not going to do that. But I won't ever celebrate anybody getting fired. I just don't think that's right. Because I know how much everybody puts into this. I know how much guys study, coaches study, and how much they want it for their crew. But it's not my decision to make. I'll right the ship and get ready to go for this week.
I got to ask, as a captain, do you think this move needed to be made?
I don't know. Only time will tell. I think when you look at the situation, it comes down to execution first. And any person who thinks just firing a OC and you're automatically going to get 10 times better, you're sadly mistaken in our game. It comes down to execution at a high level. It comes down to everybody being on one accord. And so we'll see. You know, this week will prove a lot. But, you know, more weeks after that, we'll continue to keep pushing forward. But everybody in that offensive huddle's got to, you know, take a hold of this. You can't run from this because if you lose your offensive coordinator, who are they going to next?
Yeah, and I want to talk about something Coach T said today, a little quote from him. Leadership is lonely. I don't run from it. I run to it. It was mine and mine alone. The tipping point is when I made the decision. I'm focused on this week's terms of the development of Kenny. Tomlin said, we're not urinating on the fire. Classic Tomlin quote there. We're getting ready to play football game and win this week. This is our only agenda here. It's not a big picture in 2024 of all that. The organization is not wired like that. Is he the man who made this decision, or do you think this was a collective decision between AR2 and Omar?
I'm not in that damn room. I'm not gonna try and speculate of what happened. Coach T is very direct in what he does. Obviously, you look at the last game, you could simply say it's the offense, but man, we had a chance to win it on defense. And if we get off that field one more time and give our offense another chance, you just never know what can happen. But, you know, Mike T makes his decision. They're not urinating on a fire. I don't know what that means. But, you know, I think when you look at the situation, improvement's needed. And we can have to continue to just keep fighting back. Now we're 6-4. Can't run from it. Can't hide from it. And so let's attack it. Let's see what we can do because of it. Let's see how we can be better. And that's how you got to do it, you know, as a leader. The greatest thing for being a captain of the Pittsburgh Steelers is you don't do it alone. And we have a lot of guys that are able to do that, whether it's TJ, myself, Minka, Najee, Kenny's in a leadership role. But everybody has a part to play in this. So going forward, Mike T, he lays out the foundation, but it's up to us to follow.
Yeah, I really just put that quote in there so I could read urinating out the fire. I just wanted to say one thing I'm curious about, though, and I wonder now that Matt Canada's gone, we've heard all the fire Matt Canada chants everywhere. Does this put a little more pressure on Kenny in the offense now that he's not there anymore and no more Fire Matt Canada chance anywhere else?
Can we just quit with the chance, man? You know, so I want to focus on just football, man. And, you know, I know Heavy is ahead that wears the crown. And, you know, Kenny is the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's got the ball in his hands. And, of course, there's a lot that comes with that because there's a standard uphold. And everybody's looking to the guy with that ball in his hands to succeed. So going forward, yeah, there is pressure there, but it's not just him. It's the offense. It's the defense. It's the special teams. The pressure only increases as you continue to win. I like to be in a city where there is pressure, where we expect more from each other. So, you know, there might be pressure, but I think Kenny should embrace that. That's part of being a Pittsburgh Steeler. So don't run from it. Let's run into it.
Yeah, offense hasn't been great this year statistically. Obviously, we know all the numbers. But I'm curious, as somebody who doesn't know the game as well as you, how much can really change? I'd imagine the playbook will stay the same, right? I guess play calling can change, but it's going to be a lot of the same concepts and plays, is it not?
You know, I think you got to keep the same communication. You're not going to go into a game and completely throw out the playbook and say, hey, we're starting from, you know, scratch. But there are some things we are doing right. I think our running game has improved. Between Jalen and Najee, I think it has improved. And that's one thing we can hang our hat on these last couple weeks. You play a team like Cleveland, you're able to run the ball. That is a big thing going forward. But our passing game's got to improve. And so maybe it's a philosophy of when we throw it, how we throw it, where we're looking. And so we'll see what happens. But, you know, the good thing is you got a running game that's really starting to find its way.
Yeah, just throw it over the middle of the field. I just feel so bad because everybody's always complaining about that. Just do it to shut everyone up, right?
Just
shut everyone up and throw it over the middle of the field, right?
Everybody wants to coach from the couch, man. I love our fans, but, you know, if it was that easy, everybody would be doing it, right?
Yeah.
And so let's just – there's growth that needs to take place. Let's not run from it. And, you know, whether it's the side of the field, the middle of the field, let's just win the damn game. Because if we had won that game this past week, what are we talking about? You know, you find a way to win, you get the 7-3. Man, it stings, but it doesn't sting as bad as when you win. So, you know, these past couple games, we've been winning the same way. And, hey, with Pittsburgh Steelers, we're finding a way. I'm not getting off that train. So there's a couple plays here and there that went their way. Tipped your hat to them, but, man – We still got more football in mind to keep calling at this thing.
Yeah, big divisional game coming up this week too. I mean, so you can get a chance to rectify it and get better in the division. But let's go back to Cleveland a little bit. A reaction to the loss. Obviously, Najee was a little upset after the game. There were some things about Deontay as well. Let's talk a defensive standpoint here. How do you think the unit played? Gave up the big drive late. I mean, that's the elephant in the room here. But how do you think it played overall?
You know, I think our first drive and last drive are our biggest mishaps on defense. You know, I think first drive, we got off the field, wasn't a three and out, but they then pinned our offense on, you know, the eight. And then you watch that first series with the offense, didn't really get going. Second series, they ended up getting a touchdown out of. But at the end of the drive, you got to think we started having a lot more momentum in that second half. Mm-hmm. We were able to tie up the game. We were getting three and outs. And you just got to find a way to get off the field. You know, I don't think it was as clean as it needed to be penalty wise, but, you know, I think we needed just one more stop. I know we got two stops late in that game, but as a defense, just be hungry for more. And, you know, as a defense, you can't run from it. You can't blame the offense. Defense, we got to get the stop.
Yeah. I am curious. That last possession, there was a play where Keanu Benton looked like a call on defense was made. He made an aggressive movement behind the line of scrimmage on the defensive side, and then a delay of game was called. I thought the ref said a blunt motion, which if he did say that, that doesn't make any sense to me. What happened on that play? You looked like you were right next to him.
Man, it's called stemming the front. It's called showing one look and going to another. It's been done since, you know, football was created. I don't get, because the offensive, the tight end jumps, we're the ones to blame. You know, you look at that call, it's not the deciding factor, but, you know, the thing I hate about it, before the game, there is a officiating review tape that comes in to every team. And we were on the tape for the so-called delay of game when you're moving that's not a football move. That is essentially a football move if you look at it. You show one look. They move guys around. They show another look. What's the difference between that and an offensive lineman getting up and moving on the other side of the ball? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, especially this past week, they had an extra offensive lineman. He started off in the backfield on one side, motion to the other side. And the thing that's crazy about it is during this game, we had multiple stem calls. It wasn't called every single time. So they're picking and choosing when to call it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that's being critical, but – I'm critical of how I play. My players are critical of how they play. Why can't we be critical about how we call this game?
Yeah, no. And that was a big play. I mean, it was a big momentum swing because they get the 5 yards forward instead of back, right? It makes the kick a little easier, and that hurts. I do want to talk about the offense, though. Jaylen Warren, man. That dude, explosive run play. You got to be happy with what you saw from the run game. Obviously, we know the Canada stuff. I also want to ask you, how much faith do you have in Faulkner and help me? Quarterback's coach.
Coach Sullivan.
Yeah, they're going to be calling plays, running the system now. How much faith do you have in them that they can handle this?
You know, one, I think both of those guys, and Coach Sullivan and Coach Faulkner, they're very steady. You know, just talking with them, it doesn't feel like there's a high or a low. They're very even keel, and you need that going forward, especially in this situation. You're not looking for someone to just be very, you know, jumpy and all over the place, and you never know where they stay. But, you know, face there, you know, Coach Falk's been doing it. You know, he's been coaching around the league. I know he's had he was the OC at Ball State for a little bit. But, you know, we need to just continue to execute. The only way they look right is if the offense goes out there and does their job. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can't just go into the game and say, oh, man, we lost. Now we got to play him with Coach Falk and Coach Sully. That's not going to work. The job gets done by the players on the field. And so we're looking to attack that. But one thing I got to say about Jaylen Warren, the Mighty Mouse, I like to call him, because that dude low to the ground and an explosive as I don't know what. And so, props to that guy, getting a touchdown early in that second half, really got us going in that game and gave us a chance to fight for that game.
Yeah, I agree. Momentum definitely shifted on that. That guy though, man, what is his 40? Because he doesn't look like he's moving too fast, but I've seen him break out a bunch of long touchdown runs, and he seems impossible to tackle.
I don't know what it is, man, but he brings good energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, young guys like that, Joey Porter Jr., Keanu Benton, those are firecrackers, and they're helping out our team and, you know, really getting us going.
All right, so I got to ask you something. Did you see the Broderick Jones and Myles Garrett interaction on Sunday?
I did not.
Garrett found a helmet and picked it up, a Steeler helmet. And Broderick said, if anyone shouldn't have that helmet, it's you. You shouldn't. Which I thought was pretty funny from the rookie going at Garrett. And Garrett had a nice response. He said, I'm just trying to be helpful. But I thought it was pretty funny that Broderick knows the history of this rivalry. He must have watched the show with Larry.
Man, Broderick's a guy. And he is all about everything. You know, we still got some mowing to do with him, but I love the way Broderick embraces everything about being a Pittsburgh Steeler. And he ain't running away from none of that. And I know he's going against a guy like Myles Garrett, who's, you know, one of the top guys at his position. But Broderick is a guy that I'm looking forward to seeing continue to dominate and continue to keep growing and be a part of these rivalries in the AFC North.
Hey, you think they went co-OCs so no one can start fire whoever chance? Can't it be fire Sullivan, fire Faulkner? It's got to be both.
Just do the fire cam chance. I like that.
Okay.
Go the fire cam chance. So I can just be like, bring it. Bring it right here.
All right. If you want to embrace it. All right. You got a big one this weekend, though, man. Bengals lose Joe Burrow, so you're playing another backup quarterback. That shouldn't really matter. Obviously, we saw last week it doesn't matter. What do you see from the Bengals, and how different is that offense? Obviously, it's different with the new quarterback.
You know, they dealt with a injury to Joe Burrow, who's now done for the season. But the thing we got to get back to is getting off the field. Three and outs are huge in these games. You know, we got to get our offense the ball more and more times. What they're going to do to counteract our pressure is run the ball with Joe Mixon and get the ball out of Browning's hands quick. We got to be gang tacklers on the run game. We got to be tight to these guys in the line of scrimmage and make it tough for them to keep throwing those quick passes. And if we can do that early on, then we can light our hair on fire after that. But, man, the recipe that everybody's going to try and follow is run the ball, run the ball. If you don't have success, throw it quick. So we got a lot to do, but looking forward to stopping it.
What's frustrating is you guys stopped the run on Sunday too. I mean, did a pretty good job. Held them under 4 yards of carry, and the Browns can really run it. So that's obviously a huge key going into Sunday. I mean, I think elephant in the room of a new offensive coordinators too. So please just get a 400-yard gain in a 30-point game just so everybody will stop talking.
You know, let's just outscore them. Let's just outscore them. Like, I don't really care how it gets done. I'm in it for the wins, not the stats.
Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesar's Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesar's Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns reward credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet. Up to $1,250. If you win, great. You keep those winnings. But if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer must be valid, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 wage only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount or qualifying wager return only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No one to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with the Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through the Horseshoe Bossier City and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia,
Ohio,
Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. All right. Well, do you want to lead us into this next one, this next part? I know,
you know what time it is.
I know you've got a lot to say. So we've not discussed this once. Obviously, Michigan's been in some hot water. I'll allow you to go and say whatever you'd like, and I'll respond.
Well, you know what time it is. It's time to preview the Ohio State-Michigan game. Man, we've been circling this on the calendar since last year. It hurt to watch my Buckeyes lose last year, and then go on a run, and trying to make it back to the national championship, losing to Georgia. But man, gotta make a stand here. We're going on the road, going up to that team up north, and gotta get it done. Gotta get it done. Michigan comes in with a really good running game. A seasoned quarterback. But with that, I think we have more guys available this time. Last year, Jackson and Jibba, you know, and I think we had some other injuries as well. Trayvon Henderson didn't play, but it's going to come down to defense for me. The Ohio State defense has got to step up. The silver bullets have got to get going. And if we do, we can have some success.
Not even going to mention him, huh? Not going to mention Uncle T, Connor Stallions, Harbaugh, none of it? Not even going to mention it? I mean, it's fine. I'm okay with it, but I'm giving you the opportunity to mention it if you'd like. I mean, I don't think it matters. We can go back and forth on that, but I'm shocked you didn't take the chance.
You know, I tried to remain pretty classy in that. But since you want to bring up Uncle T, Uncle T is probably handling the buffet this week because Harbaugh can't be on the sideline. But, man, I don't really focus on that stuff. I think that stuff, you know, it's all fun to talk about, but it really doesn't have a say-so who's going to win this game. You know, I was always told when you enter this rivalry, 1 yard amounts to 3 yards. A first down amounts to three first downs. You know, the points just mean that much more in this type of game. The inches and, you know, the big plays can really be momentum game changers in this game. I thought last year there was a point in time where I think we were up like 17-10.
I think it was 14-3. I think it was 14-3, and you went for it on fourth down and Stroud.
No, we didn't go for it.
Oh, no, you're right. He went for it once and didn't get it. Then he had fourth and one again and didn't go for it.
Yes.
That's right.
In this game, you've got to be aggressive. And, you know, I love Coach Day. I love what he's bringing, but this is the time. Let's not wait for, you know, the college playoff to say, hey, we're going to be aggressive in everything we do. We have to get off the bus. We have to get the ball to Marvin Harrison as many times as you can, because that kid is the best player in college football right now. I think he is. Don't lie, dude. Balling every single
You don't one. Even watch college football. Michael Penix Jr. has been really good this year. Bo Nix has been great this year. Like Maserati Marv, which is what Gus Johnson calls him, is an amazing player and is going to be a top five pick. But he's not been the best player in college football this year.
He's been the best player.
No. He's been if you were not a Buckeye, you would definitely not be saying that.
He's been the best player.
No, he may be the best NFL player down the road, but he's not been the best player in the country.
He's been the best player.
No. I mean, watch Michael Penix play. There's a number of guys who have been just as good, if not better, on their team. Bo Nix has been amazing this year. Like, I mean, you just only watch one segment of the country in football. You don't watch the West Coast. You're not staying up.
I'm thinking about that GIF or that meme where the guy takes off the headphones and is just like, turn that crap off, because nobody wants to hear you talk about anybody else but Marvin Harrison.
You're biased.
Marvin Harrison gets the job done. He is the number one player on everybody's board right now.
If his name was Jacob Smith and not Marvin Harrison Jr., he would not be considered the best player in the country.
Don't do that.
He's a great player. I'm not denying he's not a great player, but I think there's been other guys in the country who've been better. Dude, like the kid at Florida State, Keon Coleman, he's been just as good as Marvin Harrison Jr. this year. He's been amazing this year. The three receivers in Washington are all really good. Like, there's a bunch of great receivers. I'm not saying he's not a great player.
But they ain't Marvin Harrison. Let's get that.
They don't have the name Marvin Harrison. If one was named Randy Moss Jr., you bet it would be – he would be a top.
So, you know what's crazy, though?
What?
When you got a name like that, what happens?
Gotta live up to it.
You got a target on your back. You got a target on your back.
I did not say
that. So, when that happens, you're your target, and you're still the best player on the team every week and week out, yeah, you are the number one player.
No, that doesn't count.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
They're circling your name every single week, and Marvin Harrison is saying, bump that. I'm still going to ball out.
No, let's be real. Marvin Harrison, and this goes for Michigan as well. Michigan and Ohio State have played like a half a good – well, you guys played Notre Dame, who I don't even know how good they are. But, like, Penn State's not very good. We can both agree on. And
now Penn State isn't very good.
I mean, we both beat them.
When we played Penn State is, I don't know, Penn State's back. They're going to shock you guys.
The same thing was said to Michigan fans. I'm just saying, watching them play, I think we could both agree they're not a very good team. They can't throw. Let me ask you this, too, before we get out of here on this. How much of an advantage do you think the sign stealing was for Michigan the last 2 years against Ohio State?
I think it definitely is different. I think it definitely plays a part. When you look at the games, everybody can scout, right? And everybody should have the same scouting. I can look at film and say, oh, they run this. They run these certain plays in this type of scheme. But when I say, oh, that signal is called, and then I can relay that to my defensive coordinator as they go out, and I hate this. I hate this in college football. You can look to the sideline, and you know you have to do the you can change the call that way. Just get a damn green dot. I don't understand. Like, I don't understand why we have to continue to deal with this. It's because everybody has different helmets all over the place, and NCAA is funding through all different helmet partners instead of just having one way to get the communication in and out. And you don't have to worry about it. Don't you don't have to worry about the cheating aspect. Mm-hmm. But all these signs and stuff, man, what are we doing? Like, you look stupid on the sideline when you continue to look at all these different ways you're supposed to know a different play is being called.
And I think the insanity of this may get us to that point, though. I mean, this is insane. We've got a staffer on the sideline of another school, whatever else Uncle T is funding, who knows? So, like, I mean, there's a lot going on there that I think eventually just, like, you're right. Put a dot on their head and let them hear it through the coach. Quick bet. You got anything you want to bet on this? How confident are you in your Buckeyes? You want points? You want me to throw you some points? You want 3.5 points?
Hey, bro, get out of here. Don't ever give me with that point crap.
I mean, if you need points, I'm just saying to make this a fair bet to you. I mean, it's been ugly the last 2 years, so I'm just making sure if you want the points.
Wow. Hey, you want to talk about when I was at Ohio State, what really happened?
Bro, that was 10 years ago.
And what happened?
In the past.
And what happened?
You faced Brady Hoke. We've had this conversation before. Okay.
Rich Rodriguez and
Brady Hoke. Okay.
And Lloyd Carr. Don't forget that.
You did get 1 year of Lloyd Carr.
And I got a touchdown that year.
That was not against Lloyd Carr. That doesn't count. That was against Brady Hoke. Anything you want to bet? What's the bet this week?
You wanted to just go a jersey or article of clothing of other?
Yeah. So the next show we got to wear something of Ohio State. All right. Yeah. That's fine. We can make that work.
I can send some stuff your way.
You might have to send some stuff. It actually might be funny too if I have to wear your stuff. So send something actually your size and make me wear an oversized.
Well, we have a jersey. There's actually a picture of you in my jersey.
I don't think it's a jersey. I think it's a shirt, but whatever. Doesn't count.
We're going to get back to that, guys. Yeah. We got to get Hayden back in some Ohio State stuff.
All right. So loser wears the other's shirt next episode.
Yeah.
All right. Deal.
Not your. I'm not wearing your shirt, though.
Shirt. I think that should be it. I'll send you one of mine. You send me one of yours, and you have to fit into my shirt. I think that would actually – or buy a shirt my size.
We're going to get it done.
All right.
I believe in the Buckeyes. All right. Thank you guys for listening to the episode of Not Just Football. I'm Cam Hayward. He's Hayden Walsh. We'll see you next time.